Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for dropping in. I'm Ben Bolin here with our extraordinary auto editor and world-class limousine expert, at least for today's podcast, Scott Benjamin. Scott, what's going on with the presidential limousine? I've got a bunch of questions for you about it.
Oh, man. Okay, well, you need to just hit me with them because there's a lot going on with the limousine.
The presidential limousine, I think, is, you know, usually the centerpiece of the presidential motorcade, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And I hear it's a little bit different from your garden variety millionaire's limousine.
Yeah, if you can call it garden variety, that's right. Yeah, it definitely has some special features. I mean, we're talking James Bond type stuff.
Really?
One thing that, you know, I should say here before we even get too far into this is that you can't really say exactly what's on the current limousine because no one really knows. I mean, somebody knows, but we don't know. You know, we're not going to be privileged to that information.
We don't have the security clearance.
That's right, we don't. But we can talk about, you know, what has been used in past presidential limousines, and we can kind of guess what this one does have. Mm-hmm. And they're also, you know, just standard type of things that, you know, we know it has. But our discussion can't be complete, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
I like
the air of mystery here. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's definitely got a lot of gadgets and cool things about it. I mean, there's just a lot of it is about protection, of course, but you also remember that it has to be able to get away in certain situations. So it has to be kind of an unstoppable vehicle as much as possible. Uh-huh. It has to be resistant to any kind of attack you can think of. And we could talk about that also, you know, that, you know, what it can withstand and what they safeguard against or what we know they safeguard against. There's even more than that.
I'm sure.
Well, it's very intriguing.
Well, let's get the obvious stuff out of the way, the
sure.
kind of stuff that any, I won't call them garden variety if you don't want me to. So
no,
the kind of stuff that the average, what I guess security people call them, high-value targets.
Mm-hmm.
And the president, of course, is the epitome of a high-value target. So we can easily assume, right, that the president's limo will have self-inflating tires or re-inflating tires, some kind of...
Something like that. Yeah, they may have, maybe shred-proof or...
Shred-proof,
You know, they're able to withstand, you know, bullets and, you know, anything that would be laid down on the road to destroy those tires.
Extremes of temperature and probably armor all around.
Yeah, I've even heard the tires described as armor, armored tires. I don't know how, you know, accurate that description is, but, you know, they're able to withstand, you know, bullet punctures and, you know, even if the tire itself was gone, I've heard that the rims... Now, see, this is all I've heard.
Yeah, is this a tire salesman?
We have to talk about everything like this. I've heard about this. This is rumored to be this way. So everything that we say is that.
Mm-hmm.
But, or most of it. But yeah, even the rims of the vehicle. So let's say that, you know, the tire material is gone.
Okay.
Fire. Let's say fire melts them away, you know, whatever.
All right.
It should be able to travel a significant distance at a significant speed on these really... you know, exceptionally wide steel rims that it has. It's really well thought out.
So what do we know, or what, let's start with the solid stuff that we're pretty sure. How about that? So what are some cool features?
Well, I'll say, of course, armoring.
All right.
It's rumored to be 5-inch thick armoring around the entire vehicle. So not only are you talking like, you know, the door panels and, you know, roof panels, whatever. I mean, it's solid all the way around. You're also talking about the underside of the vehicle that's armored.
Okay.
Because they have to be able to withstand, as terrible as this sounds, mine, you know, if the car were to drive over an anti-tank mine or something like that. And that's happened in the past where, you know, the car ends up, you know, flying through the air from, you know, explosion below. There's also been some good outcomes that, you know, armored vehicles that are completely armored underneath have hit these types of mines, and, you know, it'll throw the car up through the air and, you know, land upside down, whatever, but everybody is bruised but safe.
Well, probably one of the most recognizable examples of that is the improvised explosive devices used in Iraq, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's what you're watching for, is something like that that's at ground level that you can't really detect until it's too late.
Until it's too late.
Yeah, that's right. So they've got a guard against that as well. Mm-hmm. Of course, the windows, bulletproof. They're said to be thick enough that they don't really... It's kind of like clear armor is what I've heard them described as.
Wow.
They're thick enough that sunlight really doesn't penetrate them. And so they said that, you know, one article that I've read has mentioned that the interior is artificially illuminated because of that. Because, you know,
it's almost like blackout.
It would be darkened, yeah.
That's right.
But they're very, very thick. In fact, the doors are so thick that I've heard that they have to have a some type of system in place to open and close the doors.
Some kind of hydraulic.
They are so heavy. It's like opening and closing a vault door. They're extremely heavy doors.
Oh, yeah. I guess it kind of is designed to be a rolling vault in that
right.
It's completely secure.
Yeah, that's right. It has to protect what's inside. That's its main purpose, yeah.
Okay, well that stuff, that all sounds reasonable. Is there anything surprising
in there? Well, this is really cool. It's got, it's rumored to have night vision. Infrared night vision. And no headlight. Of course, it's got great headlights.
Sure.
But in the event that something happens to those headlights, it's rumored to have a night vision system installed as well. And that's the current one. That's not even the new one that we haven't seen yet.
Oh, yeah.
There's just a lot of really cool stuff. And it may or may not be four-wheel drive. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, trying to think of what else. Oh, it's environmentally sealed so that, if there's a chemical or, some type of...
Oh, cool.
Some type of chemical attack, that won't penetrate the vehicle. It's entirely sealed.
So it probably has some specialized ventilation system.
Yeah, that's right. It'd have to have something like that. Some type of self-sustained system, at least for a distance. It's not good forever, of course, obviously,
right.
But a lot of that stuff comes down to just being able to get away and clear yourself from the danger. Part of that is that it's blast proof, obviously, with the armor.
I would hope so.
Part of that is that it's fireproof also. So let's say that it's involved in a situation where there's a lot of fire. Now, these are terrible situations
we're
talking about. I mean, imagine having to worry about your car being on fire and getting out of that. So driving away from that, to a safe distance. So for as long as possible, this vehicle is also fire resistant.
Mm-hmm.
The fuel tank is protected. The engine's protected. The engine, I'm sure, is extremely protected because you want that to continue to operate no matter what. You got to be able to get out. Yeah, they're incredible vehicles. They're awesome. They really are cool.
And the engine could probably also be a liability, so it needs to be doubly protected.
Correct, yeah. Right. I mean, it needs to be definitely guarded. I mean, on all fronts. I mean, and an engine is something that normally, is open in the front. You've got a lot of airflow through it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot of it has to be taken into consideration when you're building a presidential limo.
Now, Scott, I'm going to reiterate what you said before just so we should be absolutely clear on this. It is virtually impossible for anyone at this point to be sure what kind of limousine is going to be driving to the inauguration in January,
that's
right?
That's right, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's probably a good thing, but it sounds like one thing we can do is talk a little bit about oddities of past presidential limousines.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we could talk about that. Now, everybody knows that Kennedy was in a convertible when the assassination took place.
Mm-hmm.
That's no good. Convertible is obviously that leaves the president wide open at that point. But oddly enough, that limousine was used for several terms after that.
That same style or the same actual?
I believe it was the same limousine.
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah, this trend of having a new limousine for a new president is kind of unique. That's relatively new. For a long time, the presidential limousine was used for several terms in a row.
I see.
So it was I guess it was a used car.
Yeah,
for a while. Yeah. So, I mean, a great used car. It had all this cool stuff. But,
sure.
And it was, the best vehicle you could get, I would assume,
as far
as, safety goes. But, yeah, I guess this is relatively new.
So is it reasonable then to assume that one of the reasons people have been, or one of the reasons administrations have been using newer limos each time is just to keep up to date with the increasing features?
Correct. Yeah, there's always a new threat. There's always something that's, that's always lurking out there, that you got to worry about.
Yeah.
And that has changed dramatically over the last, I'd even say 10, 15 years.
Uh-huh.
It's just, you've got to stay up to date on the technology. You've got to stay one step ahead, and that's what they're doing.
I guess at this point, we should go into the realm of the entirely speculative. You want to go there with me?
Yeah, maybe.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's try it out.
Okay.
Could we make an educated guess, which again, to reiterate, we'll totally write this off as speculation.
Mm-hmm.
We will not bet any money on this, but what is something that you could see plausibly in the newer presidential limousines?
The newer ones with stuff that we haven't talked about yet?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Boy, I don't know. I'm stumped. Have you been thinking about this?
I've thought a little bit about it.
Please hit me with it, because I after reading this, honestly, it's hard to determine anything that could go beyond that. I mean, it seems like they've got it covered, but I bet you there are some things. So go ahead, hit me with it.
Okay, if they don't have it already, I imagine there would have to be a lot of upgrades and information technology and communication, mm-hmm. you know, some sort of, I'm sure the ones out now already have something like GPS, but some sort of direct link to larger information networks, mm-hmm. just to coordinate, you know, the motorcade alone making a left turn down Pennsylvania Avenue is probably incredibly complicated.
Mm-hmm,
so I imagine a lot of information based, a lot of information based innovations are going to make the difference between the new limo and the old one.
Well, I didn't mean to interrupt, but no, I'm positive that they're a kind of a rolling control booth. You know, I'm sure that there's somebody in there operating. You know, the president, I don't know what he's up to in there at all,
mm-hmm.
but I'm sure that vehicle is definitely, I guess, well hooked up as far as you know, being able to communicate with Secret Service that's everywhere, all around this vehicle at all times. Not just in the motorcade, not just you know, surrounding it, but I mean, long distances away. You know, monitoring everything that goes on. It's very carefully watched, and I'm sure that they have to. I mean, there's got to be a way to communicate back and forth with them. So imagine how secure that has to be.
I wonder if they have any recreational stuff. You know, TiVo or
maybe,
radio.
Oh, maybe they have a big flat screen TV and a system that has Pong or something really cool like that. You know, like. A ColecoVision or Atari or something.
Sure, yeah.
Wait, my...
You're a little bit dated. I'll be honest with you, just a little bit.
I did say flat screen.
Your mind's in the right place, man. Yeah. Your heart is completely in the right place there. I think that would be an awesome presidential feature.
Yeah.
And then another thing that I would see is very necessary, or definitely contingency plan, right? Because these are built in mm-hmm. terms of contingencies.
Yeah.
Would be some sort of radiation shielding. Materials.
I would think so, yeah. And that may be part of the environmental sealing that is going on there.
Yeah.
And I just don't know. I mean, the materials they use for the bulletproofing,
mm-hmm.
I know it's steel, it's composite materials, it's a mix of things. It's not it's not one material, it's several layers of material. You know, one of those might be a lead shield or something like that. You just can't say.
Yeah.
All of this adds considerably to the heft of the car, the weight of the car. But, you know, if you're talking your safety, well, then you make the engine a little bit bigger. I mean, I'm sure that they make adjustments where they have to make it as safe as possible. And like I said, they just have to be ever-changing, ever-adapting.
Hmm.
And they're fascinating cars. They really are. If you get a chance to look up any information about them, look back at the history of, you know, where they've come from and where they are now, unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, Scott, I'll be honest with you. I don't want to end on a down note. I'm a little bit depressed, though, now hearing this.
Why is that?
I mean, you know, I, of course, have no problem with any presidential figure. I'm glad they're doing the job instead of me.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know if I can be happy with a regular limousine at this point.
Are you in the market for a limousine?
You know, not anymore.
Oh, okay.
Not anymore,
yeah,
if you can't have
that one, then you're not going to have one, right?
Right. I might just have to run for office.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, thank you so much for breaking down the a little bit of the mystery behind the presidential limousines and motorcades. And for our listeners out there, thanks again for dropping in. If you have any questions for us, please write to us at podcast@howstuffworks.com. And if you'd like to learn more about limousines, motorcades, or anything auto-related, please drop by our auto channel on howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.